The new year is looming, and philosopher Alain de Botton wants us to be ready. Here's part two in his series of commentaries in the run-up to January 1st.
We're taught to be highly suspicious of the word ideal. Having an idealized view of something is tantamount to being naive and blind. It smacks of extremism and lack of maturity. But one might argue that having high ideals is in fact very compatible with being quite clear-eyed about ourselves and others. For long stretches of history, having an idealized view of certain people and things was the norm. To get a sense of this, we only have to look at much art and architecture of the early modern period, during which countless government buildings and stately homes were decorated with idealized representations of great statesmen, beautiful people and landscapes. Busts of Washington or Lincoln, the landscapes of Poussin and Claude, were standard pieces of interior decoration for those who could afford them. The intention was that one contemplate such works and take inspiration from them. We see things differently nowadays. We're obsessed with puncturing ideals. We're obsessed by biographies which show us the man behind the statue and reveal that the great figure was in fact a weakling with a bad temper. We can't quite get out of our minds how often the reality departs from the ideal, and we insist on the discrepancy at every turn. It follows that the modern age believes that art and literature shouldn't try to represent any ideal. It should aim to faithfully reflect reality. Buildings or books should show us people as they are, which means inherently flawed. But it's worth trying to understand why, for such long stretches of history, people did believe in the value of idealization and thought that the task of artists was to create works that were absolutely unrealistic. For example, landscape artists weren't expected to paint actual landscapes, rather perfect imaginary ones, where it was always sunny, there was always a clean brook flowing, there were sheep, some charming shepherdesses and so on. When it came to people, here too it was thought best to try to show the most attractive, noble characters and airbrush out any flaws. It wasn't, of course, that the painters and architects of this period had forgotten about the darker sides of life. We're unfairly treating them as fools to believe that they, or indeed their spectators, thought for a moment that the countryside was actually sunny all the time, or that great statesmen had no flaws whatever. The idealized scenes and figures embodied an aspiration. They were intended as a goad to virtue, as something to reflect on in the messiness of everyday life. One was supposed to contemplate the life of a Lincoln or a Washington and draw lessons from them, aware that these men weren't perfect, but enjoying the focus on what was good about them nevertheless. It seems that having high ideals might play an important part in making the most of ourselves.
Alain de Botton is the author of Status Anxiety. On tomorrow's program, he'll offer a defense of pessimism. There's more about Alain de Botton at npr.org.